Well, welcome to a Victory Monday here at Flowery Branch and the Dan Quinn Coaches Show with Dave Archer, West Durham. Great to have you with us for our final program of the year. And Kamal Ishmael come up in the player spotlight at the bottom of the hour. And congratulations. You want to order them up good. That's a good one to have.
It was. And, you know, I thought it was a great measuring stick, not for playing them, but I couldn't wait to see how we'd respond. You know, we had been beaten. We'd been embarrassed.
Right.
And I just couldn't wait to see how our guys responded, and they certainly did.
Yeah, tremendous amount of resolve by each and every player that seemed to step on the field wearing a Falcon jersey. You could go from the quarterback all the way to Bosher, the punter, whoever it was. Everybody came and answered the call. In particular, for me, is the way the defense really took control and tried to strangle the game so your offense could finally find a way to move against a very good defense. You talked about the offensive and defensive lines you needed to win there. Did you see what you wanted and get out of that?
Yeah, we knew it was going to be a line of scrimmage day, and they were able to get outside on some perimeter runs early, and I thought between the second quarter and the third quarter, they made those adjustments and really answered the bell in the second half, especially in the run game. And then our offense, to have the long drive, I believe we held the ball for over 11 minutes in the fourth quarter.
Right.
You just can't do it much better than that.
In some ways, the two-week window gave you a chance to maybe take another step with this team. And I'm not so much talking about this Sunday and two Sundays ago as much as I am this season and maybe what you're trying to build here. Did you sense that when you were working toward this ball game?
I have, and I think the last couple of weeks we're playing more like the team I thought we'd be and the team that I know we can and will be. And the way we want to, you know, play at the line of scrimmage, the way we want to have the balance offensively, the way we want to go after the ball defensively, those kind of things, I think that's more like the style we're moving towards and how hard the guys – I see that by how hard they want to play for one another. And so when you add all those things together and you take care of the ball and you go after it, you know, I think we're 7-2 in games, we're 0 in the plus and turnover margin. So when you add all those ingredients together and play a certain way, we'll like the results.
It certainly seemed like, Dan, there was a calm with which they played, yet playing with a sense of urgency. I know that's what you're looking for.
Yep.
You want guys to squeeze the trigger and play hard, but you want them to play within the design. I thought the attention to detail the last couple of weeks, and there's moments in each every game, but the attention to detail from an assignment standpoint, where you're supposed to be in the zone, when you squeeze the trigger, I'll try to come up and make a play on a screen, or whether you slow play it and let other people get to the ball. It seemed like all that has been pretty impeccable the last couple of weeks.
And I think the belief, you know, kept getting stronger as the game was moving on. Mm-hmm. And that was an important factor, too, knowing, okay, we're going to have to go answer and make a shutdown here or extend a drive or win on a third down, and the belief was there.
Right.
I thought, you know, from a protection standpoint, there were some times, you know, where Matt had a nice pocket to throw, and then there were some times where he had to take a shot and not flinch and deliver a ball, which he did a number of times.
How proud are you, were you of your team, knowing coming in there was a little bit of an error around this game because of what they'd done 2 weeks ago, what they'd done this week? Your guys kept their poise. They were on the edge and were ready to punch him in the mouth and did, but didn't allow it to spill over and hurt you.
One of the things we had talked about with the team is let's make sure every hit counts. And so they don't count the fights that after, you know, below the belt or after the bell. So let's make sure, you know, that's why it was going to be such an important time. Every hit is going to count.
So in some ways then, on that opening offensive drive, you get a third down and 15. Ryan throws an incomplete pass. And there's a personal foul on those guys.
Yep. And it ended up being a huge one for us.
Right.
I don't know however long the drive ended up going, but
yeah, 16 plays
for us to have a, you know, them drive all the way down, score, and then to have a three and out where they're going to get some field position, you know, after a punt early. I thought that was a really important part of the game, and you never know when those moments are going
to
happen.
But did that also speak to, you know, make every hit count, but don't, as Dave said, let it spill over, right?
Yeah, if you're going to get a penalty drawn on you, that's one thing, and that was certainly the case.
Well, Roddy is a relentless blocker. We know that on the perimeter. And he stayed after Peanut Tillman. And ultimately, you know, Peanut loses his cool, lost his poise. The 14-0 team guy loses his poise on the field. Head coach Dan Quinn with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Dan, you mentioned the two long drives. And it looked like that for the most part, there was the one, the Artis Payne run that was about a 30-yard play. But both teams were really struggling to try to get a foothold or make a chunk play in the game. Both defenses playing really well.
Yeah, I think the third downs, that was the, you know, the emphasis for us to say, can we get some stops? And then defensively, we were able to get some at the end of the game, some fourth down stops as well.
Yeah. Well, no question about that. The latter part of the ball game, interesting because each team only had it three times in the first half, and at the end, you just ran three plays and into the first half on your third possession.
Yep.
Then the second half, all of a sudden, the game kind of expanded a little bit. What causes that tempo change? Because really it's one, as Dave said, you're controlling defensively.
Yeah, and I think the fact that there was all these opportunities that came up, especially at the end of the game with, you know, field goal and going back and fourth down stops. And it was awesome hearing our fans too. You know, like there was energy, you know, big time in the building. But the back and forth that it was going on, we just had this belief that, you know, that we were ready to play really good, solid ball. And they're tough.
Yeah. I used warrior mentality with just about everybody on the team yesterday. I thought that that's kind of the way they played, you know, back against the wall. I thought that the guy, maybe if you could pick out a guy, and everybody could probably wear that jersey if you put warrior mentality on it, but I thought the quarterback kind of took it to another level maybe a little bit yesterday for
you. Yeah, I think he carried the flag in terms of the toughness and competitiveness going, you know, defensively. Durant went down, other guys stepped up, but, you know, when he got knocked around, he was right back in and, you know, a couple plays later, throwing a 70-yard pass to Julio.
Yeah. Well, it brings me to one of the things I jotted down here. If you had to pick a momentum changer in this game, was it the touchdown to Julio?
Totally.
Okay.
I think that was the one that totally ignited us, where here's this big opportunity and the way that he went after the ball. And, oh, by the way, most people just jump and catch that when there's a big pile, jumps, lands on his feet, and then all the way in. That was for huge. I thought just – probably one of the most critical parts in the game.
Well, it certainly ignited the building, too, because I think there was kind of an unsettledness. Both the Carolina fans, which were there, and the Falcon fans were kind of unsettled at how it was going, and all of a sudden Julio makes the play.
Ignited the radio booth, too.
Yeah,
good.
We were throwing stuff out of the booth.
That was not pretty.
I probably got a lawsuit coming. that play, you described what he did and the uncommon way he did what he did. Go back in your memory banks, football-wise. You've seen a lot of great football, a lot of great plays. I mean, that one's got to stack up there, doesn't it?
It totally does. And just is a individual effort by Matt, you know, taking the shot to go give it to him. And then for him to go climb the ladder and go get the ball, where there was a really good player who was playing, you know, a deep part of it, and there was another player who was latched onto him. So he's a unique guy. And usually when you give him a shot, good things happen for us.
You know, it's amazing. I found myself going through kind of some of the words and phrases you've used during the course of the year in that second half, and I said on the air about, you know, going for it.
Yep.
That's a go-for-it play.
Totally was. Yeah, that's not absolutely the mindset that I'd love our club to have, and it was great to see that, saying, like, we're not going to be a team that holds back. We're not going to be a program that doesn't just go for it in every opportunity. So, man, it was cool to see that.
Dan, you got an outstanding –
And as a defensive coach, I'm not sure I remember all the great offensive catches.
Probably. Those were more defensive plays. Yeah, more defensive plays.
Yeah.
High pointing the ball on defense.
Yeah.
The balance, maybe you can't get balance any better than what you got. You threw the ball 30 times. Ryan's credited for 30 attempts. You ran the ball 30 times, counting Ryan's runs, and they were impactful. Ryan made a great run down in the red zone, as you mentioned, took the big shot at the back end of it. But the balance was what you were looking for. And I kept talking about how your defense had to allow your offense to stay balanced, and they did. It was a team effort.
Because where we got so far behind in our first ball game to them, we knew that's not the style that we want to play. We want to have the play action that's available for us. And I thought the offensive line, the backs in particular, man, were they up in the line of scrimmage, and which made it challenging to run. But it also opened up some opportunities in the play action game where you know, the inside breaking routes to Roddy, to who, a seam route to Tammy. All that was also a byproduct of having to run it. And so they're going to step up, and here comes some play action behind them.
So, really, I know you want to run for more yards maybe when you run it, but still, as Dave and I got in this conversation, I thought he made a great point late in the first half, early in the second. You just had to show the ability to run it.
Correct.
Give yourself, hey, 3 yards here, 4 yards here, then if we get one for 7 or 8, so be it. But just that little degree of uncertainty with running it.
Yeah, the 15-yard in-breaking route is a byproduct of sometimes a 3-yard run, where I've got to step up, that's my gap, I got to go hit it, and then all of a sudden the line had great, you know, run action where a safety wants to step up, and they're aggressive players. And so for them to step up and have the opportunities come behind them, because when a team just can play pass first and not, you know, and just sit back and wait for them, man, that's hard to throw. So having that balance is the key.
Your two wide receivers, the two starting wide receivers, Roddy White, Julio Jones, big body guys that are willing to stick their nose in there. I just talked about how good and tenacious a blocker Roddy is. Julio's the same way. He makes the big block on Devontae's touchdown, gets the crack back, and allows him to get to the edge. In your mind, as far as those two guys, is there, have you seen two better blocking wide receivers?
Not that I can think of, and here's why. At their core, they are competitors, mm-hmm. whether they're running the route, whether they're going to aggressively catch a ball, and then it's the same thing in the run game where they're going to go try and finish. And their example has paid huge dividends for, like, a young Justin Hardy, you know, who thinks he's bigger than he is right now because he sees his big brothers blocking. And so he absolutely throws his body in there. But, yeah, perfect example on the touchdown run to Freeman where both Julio and Roddy were at the point of attack and got big blocks.
Well, we're not going to let this first segment get out of the way without talking to the former defensive coordinator about the defense here, because I thought it was a three-level game in terms of your front, your linebackers, and your secondary, particularly in the second half. Up front, I want to ask you about Hegman, because I thought he set a tone for you with the stuff in the middle of the field.
Right.
He was one of those guys. Solia got shaken up. But Hegman was a guy that constantly, it seemed like, Coach, was the driving guy right in the A-gap for you each time.
And that's where he's at his best, where he can push the pocket. And there was one earlier where he got a hit on the quarterback, and it was just – it wasn't anything fancy that he did, but he demonstrated his power and his ability to push. And then in the last few games, he's also been a factor batting passes down. He didn't yesterday, but, you know, getting a hand up and maybe making the throw have to change, that's a factor too.
And then one of the big plays in the first half was the two veteran guys, Babineaux and Bierman, sacking the quarterback. That also seemed to ignite that group.
And I think the main thing is, like, I didn't get him, you got him. And when you play a mobile quarterback like Cam, who's got the ability, sometimes the first guy does miss, and then there's a second guy there to finish off. It's like, think of the player who tackles somebody on a screen.
Right.
It's often not the guy who's the first guy there in space to get him. Same thing is true in pass rush. You know, if the first guy doesn't get him, the second guy generally does. So that's why when those four really work in concert together, that's when a pass rush is at its best.
All right, our final question of the week for Coach Dan Quinn, brought to you by United BMW. Don't forget, during the BMW Happier Holiday event, the choice is yours with incredible savings on all BMW models in stock. Now through the end of this week, Arch, I guess that'd be the 31st, of course.
Sure.
United BMW in Gwinnett and Roswell. David and Woodstock, can you take us through the decision-making process on Graham's last field goal? And I think,
sure.
You know, 54-yarder, he hadn't kicked one that long, I think, in about 3 years in a ball game. Had a 50-yarder, ironically, for New Orleans against Atlanta here last year. You seem pretty confident. And, by the way, he could have made it from 60, I think.
Well, I think just from going through the, you know, the weeks of practice with him, we had a real sense of where his range was, and mm-hmm. it was right where we thought it was. So those are the good decisions when there's not weather to be a factor and say, okay, if we get to this spot, let's kick it. And then at the end we thought, you know, let's go up by, you know, three, and we're going to kick it off to him after that, and then we got to go defend a touchdown. Mm-hmm. And we thought, you know, hopefully that would be the only one. Then we ended up not doing a good four-minute drive and having to go back out again. But I think just having the belief in him, I had great confidence in him to go. A lot of people could say, why wouldn't you punt it? And I think it was easy to see which way. But I wanted to make sure I had great belief we were going to make it, number one. And then past that, you know, let's go out and play a two-minute, you know, where they got to, you know, get a touchdown to tie.
I heard you say after the game it got pretty quiet on the headset. Huh?
It did.
This was one for the HC?
Yeah, this was one that no one wanted to reach out for. And honestly, that's, you know, you practice as often as you can to get yourself in
sure.
those decisions. And then once you make them, let it rip. And so I had known if we were going to get to that yard line, we were going to kick it.
What?
And so when it got to it, it really wasn't a hard one because I had made it, you know, a minute earlier.
Interesting, because it's another rivalry game. In essence, what did you learn about the Saints and Falcons in the first meeting?
Number one, it's great to play in a division game. I love how the NFL, you know, put some of these matchups here at the end. So I think, number one, that's great. We played them a while ago.
Yeah.
You know, so now we'll go back, look at the tape from there. I love the energy that our fans bring. And certainly, you know, the game against Carolina, and for us to play at home again in front of our fans, our team is completely jacked for that.
Well, Drew Brees is a guy that obviously has a tremendous amount of respect around the league for Drew, and he's a little bit banged up, but that didn't bother him. We mentioned how Ryan was banged up early in this game, continued to fight. Brees, very similar type character, is going to get in there and battle. How much does a team change, Dan, from mid-October when you saw them to here they are late December? Can a team completely change their face and what they look like?
Well, I don't think they can completely change, but what does happen is some roles emerge,
mm-hmm.
and might be a player who was developing, and all of a sudden now he's hot. It might be a player where there was an injury, and here's a guy who came on. And then there's the case of a guy like, you know, Julio, who ripped it from the first game, and he's still doing that.
Yeah.
So there's those kind of things. So I don't think the face of it changes, but man, there are some people that emerge, and here's a role that took place, and this tight end is now a real factor. And I don't think Watson had been as big a factor in our game. He kind of took off, and that happened from then. You see it oftentimes with running backs as well.
Yeah, Watson's ended up having a pretty good year. He's got 68 catches after their victory yesterday over the Jaguars. I want to focus on your team here and the building job that's taken place. And here's a question I'm going to ask Kamal Ismail in our player spotlight as well about, and you've talked about, you know, the losing skid and what you learned from it. Now you've had kind of this ultimate win against Jacksonville, now capitalized on it yesterday. The value of what you're building here with Sunday in the balance, it means a little bit more than just closing the regular season, I got to believe.
I think some of the unintended consequences of going through that, you know, slump that we went through is there's a lot of grit that gets developed and a lot of toughness that gets developed, knowing that we're not wavering, we're not backing off, we're not going to change our style. And so it's another example for us to show that we're playing, you know, the last couple of weeks and heading into this week, you know, the type of ball that I know we can be and will be.
Dan, I think a lot of fans out there realize of with the Giants losing last night, that eliminated Atlanta from the playoffs. And now as you begin to try to carry this momentum that you've garnered here the last 2 weeks and get another win to get you into the off season with that momentum, are there some guys or do you put a situation in place where maybe some guys that haven't played as much might get a little bit more playing time? Because you've played a lot of personnel this year. It's not like a lot of guys haven't played.
We have a pretty good sense for a number of the guys. Now, there's still some younger players. If their opportunity gets called, then we'll look into that. You know, we'll see where Soliai comes back with his injury. Is Embu, right. You know, somebody that gets more turns. We're still evaluating all the young DBs. We have a number of them, and we like all the different things. They've all had a big factor on special teams. Coleman, we're hopeful he can get back, you know, and see what he can do as well, because we like all the unique stuff that he has. So there's a number of guys we're still wanting to find out more about, and there's a number of guys who are playing really well, and we're anxious to put them back out there in those spots to do that again.
Well, and obviously you don't sacrifice an opportunity. Well, you want to win the football game. That's what you want to win. You want to win the game. But there are maybe some opportunities you might look at to try to find, maybe sit some of these guys in, get them a series or two in a game
to
look at.
Just trying to keep digging to keep finding that information. And so many of these guys that have been developmental and they're now up and coming through it, it's pretty great to see them get their opportunity.
One of the things we noticed yesterday, we didn't touch on it on the air as much more than we saw it during breaks in the game, was the ability, and we've seen you run 5-6 guys out there defensively at one time and make a change. But yesterday I noticed it was almost more pronounced with your fronts. Was that just particular for Carolina, or is that something you're working toward?
It's working towards that. I've always had a really strong belief, especially with the front, to make sure you rotate the guys enough so at the end of the half and at the end of the game, your rushers are ready to go finish. Mm. And we're not anywhere near where we're going to be in terms of hitting the quarterback and getting them off the spot. But our two-minute football, I think we've had 7 turnovers in 2 minutes this year, forced defensively, whether it's at the half or at the game. And that's a real stat, you know, to showing how hard that those guys are going and knowing that in those situations we're at our best.
Dan, I guess that's pretty good?
Yeah, that's really good.
Okay.
An area that I think probably doesn't get recognized very much is the conditioning of your football team at this time of year. Are you still strong? And I know you want to be strong going into the playoffs. There was a couple of moments I noticed on the field where Ryan Schrader maybe mocking a little bit as Charles Johnson's asked to come out of the game. And Schrader's tapping on his helmet, pointing at their sideline. And the reason I mention that is because of the condition of your football team. Are you pleased with that? It looks like it's in a pretty good spot right now is where they are.
I think so. And honestly, that comes from the work that we do at practice. And over these last couple of weeks, I thought the victories have come on Wednesday and Thursday in terms of the attitude. We love the process we go through on Wednesdays. We do a bunch of one-on-ones against one another, wide receivers, DBs, tight ends, linebackers, O-line, D-line. And that push of going against one another, because honestly, you got to give all you got. If you're really trying to help get the other guy better, I got to give it all. And so that Wednesday and Thursday's practices where we do those one-on-ones, we love that process.
Well, obviously, one of the young guys on that defensive unit who made a huge plays for you yesterday was Vic Beasley, particularly at the end. And in terms of conditioning, I mean, he was revving it up at the end of the ball game like he was at the start of the ball game.
I even thought he played a better second half than he did in the first half.
I agree, yeah.
And so that's a testament to him and to Brian and the work that they put in together. So when it gets time for that recognize, okay, the game's at hand and I need to go finish it. When you recognize that and then you go do it, that's when the true competitor can come out.
Well, that's interesting you mentioned that. And staying on Vic Beasley,
yeah.
Are there moments for rookies where, and maybe it's late in a season like this, where a light some all of a sudden comes on for a guy? Because I asked Vic after the game, I said, did Cam say something to you? Because there was an exchange between those right. two, and then all of a sudden his level went to a different place. And I said, well, we need to get Cam to say that to you every week or whatever. But is there
cassette? How old is that? Really? But only we would know.
We're kind of cassette guys.
Can a light come on for a guy like that? That's an extremely talented player, like that for Vic Beasley.
What it sounds like is what you're saying is like is there a defining moment?
Yeah.
And I think there oftentimes is to know that I always have something now I can pull back on. This is what I look like at my best.
Yeah.
And now that's always in the memory bank to say, I need to play, remember this game, this moment. And you can do that not just this season, years and off seasons. And, you know, remember that time I did this? I'm going to go do that again, that feeling of what it's like.
Now, is that something that you will point to if you start seeing maybe that's not where I'm at, not where he's at, you
no
point
doubt.
To that moment?
Yeah, to say that's what – I know what your best looks like. And that's it, that strain, that finish, that grind. And as a pass rusher, that's the life you live. And it has to be as hard a fight as there is. So he showed it.
Do we, outside the walls of a football facility, be it the Falcons or any team you've been associated with, do we oftentimes in the professional level expect too much sometimes of first round, second round, third round guys because they're hoping for the home run draft pick, if you will? Because I actually think Beasley's had a really good year, a very productive growing year in your system based on what he did in his final 2 years, especially the day when I saw him play at Clemson.
Right.
I think he's on track to have a really, really nice professional career. No, he doesn't have 14 sacks.
Right.
No, he doesn't have all these things. But he seemingly had a pretty good year.
The line of scrimmage guys are the ones that have the hardest adjustment oftentimes. Now, there's certainly outliers that a guy steps right in and plays terrifically. But there's a lot that gets developed into playing offensive and defensive line. And the tricks that guys know and learn along the way, you know, when you're playing against a 7-, 8-, 10-year offensive lineman who's seen his fair share of pass rush moves or quarterbacks who've, you know, seeing lots of coverage and lots of pressure. So I'd say the line of scrimmage and the quarterbacks, those to me seem to be the ones that development, you know, how fast can you accelerate it?
I need to ask you about maybe the only negative moment I can remember yesterday, and it was the one turnover, was the snap
yep.
that kind of got by Matt. I know that it looked like Person was trying to get to his A-gap on the left side, which can be a very difficult snap. Looked like it had a little bit more on it. Did you see anything in regard to that?
It came in too hot for sure and off target.
Okay. So, we didn't get a good look at it.
You nailed it, and the competition, you know, is on again this week, you know, with the and Gino and playing at center, so – that's the part about our program that will never change is the competition that happens every week at practice.
You roll into this last week. The finality of it kind of exists now. And I know that's frustrating for
yes.
you, isn't it?
Yeah, that is painful in a lot of ways because, you know, the lessons are not always that you learn are not always easy.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is one for us, you know, where it's not an easy lesson. But I hope the one that is learned is that let's make sure we never have to leave it into anybody else's hands in terms of how we want to play. When you're hoping for other guys to lose and that, well, really you didn't take care of things when you were supposed to. And that's the hard part. That's the hard lesson. And if you don't learn from it, then it was a wasted lesson.
Well, you guys were talking about this before we got on the air today, and I want you to – because I know you both like the fight game a lot. Now, this is Marvin Hagler and who?
Vito Antifermo.
Antifermo. Yeah. And so in Marvin Hagler's first title shot,
right,
he fought Antifermo, and it ended up being a draw. And some people thought the judges, you know, that Hagler clearly won and it didn't. And after the fight, he was quoted saying, I'll never leave it up to the judges again. You know, I'm going to make sure that it doesn't have to go into anybody else's hands. And he certainly did that. And I told that message to the team. And let's make sure that we never again leave it into other people have to lose or this has to happen. Because once you go down that road, that's a slippery slope when you're wanting other
right.
things to happen and you're not taking care of things yourself. So during those times when we have to play our best ball, Let's make sure we're doing that.
Dan, it's been a great pleasure to talk to you all year long. And regardless, you know, you get a 5-0 start, and then you have a 6-game losing streak. You've been consistent. You come in here, you talk about all the things that are going on with your football team. It'd be a great pleasure to be with you.
Yep. Yeah, likewise, guys. Let's do it for years to come.
That Coach, thank you. Appreciate it very much. Stay tuned. Kamal Ishmael's coming up next. He'll join us in our player spotlight. Coach, good luck to you and the Falcons against the Saints on Sunday.
All right. Thanks, guys.
We welcome you back to the Dan Quinn Coaches Show here on a Monday with Dave Archer, West Durham. And our player spotlight today is Kamal Ishmael, the safety from UCF, grew up in the Miami area. Thanks for the time. Appreciate it. Congratulations.
No doubt, man. Appreciate it. Thank you.
That was a lot of fun, huh?
Yeah, it was.
Kamal, there was a lot made about in the comments after the game about what had happened 2 weeks ago. You guys had been pretty quiet about how they handled their business 2 weeks ago. But once you got the job done, then there was some of those emotions came out and some of your teammates. Talk about that. You guys were bothered by the way they handled their business 2 weeks ago, weren't you?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, you win like that, you want to handle it with class. It's a professional sport, so you just want to handle it with class and not, like, do too much. But, you know, they did their thing. They handled it that way, and we moved on from it, played the next game, won that one. And when this game came back up, it was personal. I mean, you never forget anything like that. It's always going to leave a bad taste in your mouth. And when we handle business, I mean, we did the same thing.
How much do you guys learn as a group of players that's the attitude you want every game? I know it's hard to try to pull that kind of emotion because they kind of fueled some of it for you, but that's really kind of the ultimate goal, isn't it, to try to find that team to play every Sunday? How tough is that?
Yeah, it's tough, man, because you got guys. Some guys come in week to week, and, I mean, it's a building process. It's not going to be built in 1 year, 1 day, or anything like that. It's gonna come together real soon. And in the last couple of games, you saw how it was, like the defense and offense playing well together, special teams playing well, and that's what's gonna happen later down the road.
Kamal, it's interesting. A couple different dynamics are in play here. One, since the ball game in Charlotte, you guys obviously have, found your stride again. And arguably, your interception in Jacksonville a couple of weeks ago is the turning point. Mm-hmm. On the upswing of where this football team might go here in the last three ball games. Take me through the struggle, I guess, and now what the upswing's been like, because there is something to learn from what you went through and apply it as you go forward, I guess, whether it's the ball game Sunday, the close of the season, but also in maybe 2016.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. The success is in the struggle. We are on a losing streak. We like Coach said, we've been through hell.
Right.
So – and Carolina was one that put us through hell with that when we went up there to play them. And, I mean, we've been there. We've lived it. So now when we are faced with these challenges now with we're down and they're up by two scores, it's nothing. Like, we've been there. We've been in worse situations. So with that, nobody loses their poise, and we just go out there and execute like we're supposed to do. We're going to be the number one finishing team in the league, and that's what we're going to do.
Falcon safety Kamal Ishmael with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game in our player spotlight on the Dan Quinn Show. Kamal, when a lot of people like to make comparisons, and obviously Quinn comes from Seattle, so you start trying to look at the defense, and this guy's this guy, and this guy's that guy. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you're going to draw some comparisons to what you do to Cam Chancellor. I mean, you're a big-bodied guy, box safety mm-hmm. that can come down. We obviously see you have ball skills because it seems like every time you're in a game, you end up intercepting mm-hmm. one and end up with a football, which is a good thing. And that's kind of the way Chancellor plays as well.
Yeah.
Do you try to stay away from those comparisons, or do you kind of see some of that as well in kind of comparing the two teams as you try to build towards next year?
I mean, it's unavoidable with this system and mm-hmm. the same one that Seattle runs. There's going to be comparisons. But for me, I'm just me. I mean, Cam does some things great that I can't do. Like he's a bigger body, a guard, a tackle will pull, he'll go and knock them on their feet. I mean, I'll try to do it, but you know, sometimes it doesn't end up like that. And I just use my ability. Like I'm more of a shock and shed, and then I'll get the tackle. So, I mean, you're gonna compare us or compare that position with whoever plays it. But I mean, I just use the best of my abilities that I know what I can do. So. Yeah, it's unavoidable, but I mean, we're all different, so.
That's a good territory to be in. If people are comparing you to him, it's a good territory to be in.
What do you look at in this system that you like about? I mean, what's the most dynamic piece of it. I mean, from the installation now through a season with it, what do you see for this? Because everybody's excited about, you know, hearing about Dan Quinn coming here and the defensive philosophy they generated in Seattle. And, you know, Dave and I had fun time in the offseason kind of looking, okay, who would fit certain positions, things like that. What do we not know about the dynamics of this defense?
I would say it's simple, but then again, it's hard. Mm. It's cover three. It's this, but it's so much pieces that go into that cover three, and everybody has to be on the same page. Mm-hmm. But the good thing about this defense, once you get it locked down and once you understand your issues and stuff like that, you play so much faster. Like, you'll see one guy do this, you know, you have to replace him, and then ball's thrown, you're there. Mm-hmm. And it's all the thing about this defense is not just the individual guy. He's going to be making all the play. No, it's everybody. It's that ball's thrown. 11 people have a chance to make a play on that ball. So it's just a group defense. You really have to be in tune with everybody.
I think the one thing that was interesting is Coach Quinn's pretty quick to tell us it's one of two things. It's either man or cover three. Mm-hmm. There's not a lot of finagling and fiddling around with the back end of it. What kind of difference does that make? Does that the freedom part you're talking about and the understand the flexibility of it?
Yeah, no doubt. And Coach Quinn, he's not a finesse guy, so he'll let you know, hey, we don't care if they know what we're in, because it's either going to be cover three or man. Mm-hmm. And once you figure that out, just know we're going to hammer you. So so once we're in man, that ball's thrown, everybody's rallying to the ball. And it's going to look exactly alike, too, because we're all going to play it the same way. Once that ball's thrown, everybody's running to it.
Well, and I think you made such a great statement there. We're simple, yet it's hard to play. And the difficulty comes in the technique. Okay, yeah. I've got to be disciplined enough if I'm cover three and I'm one of the underneath defenders that I've got to get to my hook to curl zone and I can't bite on the underneath route and let somebody catch that intermediate route behind me. That's the difficult part about it. Or knowing your tape you watched all week long, knowing I can jump that underneath route because he never throws that shot. Yeah. I mean, I thought that was a great way of saying it, mm-hmm. because the difficulty is in the technique that you have to use to play the positions, right?
Yeah, you have to know your issues. I mean, you see something in front of you, it looks good, it looks like you're about to make a play, but trust me, there's something right behind you that you have to hold off and help your brother and just wait for him to get there in position before you go and get that play. So it's all about patience and understanding what they can attack in that kind of defense, and that's basically what it is.
Kamal Ishmael with us on the Dan Quinn Coaches Show here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Falcons and Saints will close the regular season on Sunday at the Dome at 1 o'clock. And unfortunately, I've got to ask you about Ben Watson and the ball game he had in October. And what do you think the carryover will be? What will be the big challenges based on what you saw in that first ball game at the Superdome?
He had a good game. Credit to him. He's a good tight end, very athletic. And he was drafted in the first round, if I'm not mistaken.
Sure.
So,
yes, he did.
I mean, it's the reason why he was drafted in the first round. But when we played them, we were still young, you mm-hmm. know, still learning and getting everything, getting our groove back. But I mean, we've matured through the defense now, and the family's more tighter, offense, defense, special teams. So it's not that he's gonna have to deal with just the defense; he's gonna have to deal with everybody from the offense, defense, and special teams. So I mean, it's him against all of us. So. That's what it's going
to
be.
Kamal, speak to how a player – I think that when we play, when you have some success, you can talk about the people, you can relax and play. And there is something to that. You relax. You're able to squeeze the trigger if you want to. You're quicker to make plays. And when things aren't going as well, like the six-game losing streak, it might not necessarily have been your position, but other positions, you kind of begin to tighten up. You're not sure this guy's going to take care of his business. Where are you now that you've put these last two games together? I would imagine the relaxation has come in a little bit more, and you're much more willing to, you know, just do your job.
Yeah, as for me, it's more of a do your job thing. If I see something's not right, I've been coached well enough to know that, I can make it right. If he moves there, I'll just stay here, and I'll replace him because he's probably doing one job that he thought he was supposed to be doing. But I can make it right. So it's all about knowing that defense. And I mean, once you feel more comfortable, you're more relaxed. Yeah, that happens. You get more relaxed. You get more comfortable in the scheme. You get to move around. You know what issues and jobs you have to do. So I mean, coach talks about it all the time. Man, we have to know this defense. Once we know it in and out, we'll be able to help everybody on the team.
You guys have played so much personnel on defense. There, yeah. We'll see seven guys run onto the field, seven come off, and then two plays later, here comes another group, and it might not necessarily be the same seven that just left the field. Mm-hmm. Has that made it even tougher as you move through the season, and now that you're kind of getting to the back end, maybe the communication's a lot better? But there were so many different guys on the field that maybe you weren't in sync all the time defensively, and that created a hole. Could that have been part of the issue?
I mean, for this defense, we're just looking for the best matchups, and that's what the league is, just finding the best matchups, what's going to work and what's going to beat the opposing team. And now that we've matured through this defense, I mean, everybody's singing from the same hymnal now. So no matter who's in there, everybody's expected to do their job. Like our coach said, it's not going to take just the 11 starters on offense or defense. It's going to take everybody. And that's a prime example of what he's talking about. We got packages running in and out, seven guys leaving the field, seven guys come. So that's exactly what he's talking about.
You became an old guy around here pretty quick, didn't you?
Yeah.
I mean, unbelievable, right? I mean, we were sitting a couple of years ago at a rookie dinner just talking about playing at UCF for Coach O'Leary and all that stuff, and now all of a sudden – you're like a veteran guy here.
Yeah, 3 years in.
It's pretty interesting, isn't it?
It moves fast. It goes fast, man.
So what do you tell the younger guys? What do you tell Robinson Therese this year? What do you tell Jalen Collins? What do you tell these guys?
Robinson's my hotel roommate, so we talk all the time. And I'm like, hey, trust me. You may be messing up now. You did some good things. You may be messing up now. But trust me, you come back next year, you're going to look at film and be like, oh, my God, I messed up on that. So easy.
Right.
It's exactly what happened my rookie year. I'm like, dang, I messed up. Come back next year and be like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe I messed up on that. It's so easy. Mm-hmm. Like, just take it day by day, man. It's going to get better. Like, you can only go up from here.
Let me ask you a question. Would you have made the play in Jacksonville 2 years ago?
2 years ago. My rookie year?
Yeah.
Oh, I would have been nervous. I would have been a train wreck. I don't know.
It's a pretty veteran play.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, red zone, there it is, right at the door. It's a turning point in the game.
Well,
I mean,
it was pattern recognition involved, too. You knew what they were doing, and that helps. That speaks to your experience.
Right.
And just knowing the defense and what's expected out of that defense when that route happens. So I probably would have caught and probably, like, fell, like, right there at the one or something. I would have just fell, like, yeah, I caught the pick, though, guys.
Did you tell Durant to get a better block for you next time so you get in the end zone?
I talk to him all the time about that. I was like, man, I thought you were going to kill him. But, I mean, Blake's a big boy now.
He is.
I was about to say, that's one of your guys from school now. You know he can run.
Yeah, he could. He's built, man. He's a big guy. I mean, I don't blame him for not taking him out. But, I mean, I could have did a better part of my job just reading and reacting there. But, man, I was just trying to go straight, trying to get to the end zone.
Well, we've had fun talking about the way you find the ball, as Arch told you at the top of the interview. I thought it was interesting you picked an old guy from college, though, at such a critical juncture. And he's had a really good year. But a lot of you guys who played in Orlando for Coach O'Leary on those successful teams have had pretty good pro careers since coming out here in the last 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, no doubt. I talk to them all the time. Bruce Miller and San Fran, they love him up there. The running back, Latavius Murray, I think he just hit 1,000 yards this season.
Yeah, sure did.
A.J. Boyer, the corner for Houston, caught a pick the same week I caught one.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Brandon Marshall's having a great year.
Some ballers coming out of there.
It's a handful of us, but we're getting some things done. Yeah.
Okay, we got a couple minutes left. The Saint, I was fortunate enough to play in this series against the Saints. No love lost there for me. You've now played in it a number of times as well. Talk about the rivalry between the Saints and the Falcons and what you kind of hear. Maybe you just go to the grocery store, you hear people saying things to you, and talk about the Saints and what that is.
Man, since I've been here, I thought college rivalries were crazy, man. Just that week when you play the Saints, everything turns up. It's probably not on purpose, but it just does, man. When we get together and we play, it's hard nose, smash mouth, man. It's crazy. It's worse than the Panthers. Like, it gets crazy. Once we enter that the town, mm-hmm. well, like when we went back to New Orleans, like, man. Trash talking everywhere. The stadium's rocking.
Right.
I can remember that my rookie year, too. The stadium's rocking. You can't hear anything. And it's crazy. And no matter what the record is, we're playing like it's the Super Bowl right there. Mm-hmm. Like, championship game. This is win or go home right now. So, man, it's just another level.